If we would just stop for a moment and realize how heavy things are on us, turn it over to the Lord and allow Him to have His way. He is the promise keeper. Let the promise keeper do exactly what He said He would do. Sunday's here. Hallelujah. Sunday's here. Hallelujah. Sunday's here. Hallelujah. Sunday is here. Not just any Sunday. Resurrection Sunday is here. Hallelujah. 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 Y'all not excited about Resurrection Sunday. Amen. He got up so that one day we can get up. Hallelujah. He died so that when we do die, our sins will be covered and paid in full. Hallelujah. He paid a debt He didn't owe, because we couldn't pay one that we did owe. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we ought to be thankful, hallelujah, that God is on our side.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To God be the glory. Amen. To all of the officers and family and friends of this church, to Reverend Alicia Starnes, amen. To all of God's children that are assembled in the house on today, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ.
Greetings in His name.
The text that was read earlier from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, I just want to lift up two verses out of that text. Chapter 24. I want to lift up verses 6 and 7 as our text for this morning. And from the New Living Translation, it reads, "He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what He told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of a sinful man and be crucified, and that He would rise again on the third day."
Yes.
Amen. I want to share today from the subject of point me to the resurrection.
Yes, yes.
Point me to the resurrection. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this celebration of life, God, the celebration of the life of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We're not celebrating a dead God. We're not celebrating a dead Savior, but we're celebrating a living God. And because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear and all is lost and is gone, oh God. We thank You that that fear is no longer with us. We thank You that because He lives, we have hope for tomorrow. So, Father, we bless You. We thank You. We give glory. We give honor to You. And I ask now, God, that You would overshadow me. Use me for Your will and for Your glory. Use me, Father, and allow Your Holy Spirit to minister through me. And I pray, Father, that You would open our ears and help us to listen. Open our eyes, for we want to see Jesus. And open our hearts that we might receive Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. Point me to the resurrection. As we come to this resurrection celebration, our attention is drawn to the activity that happened after Jesus' death. The fact that He got up out of the grave. See, Jesus did so much while He was here on earth. He saved a wedding party from embarrassment by producing wine out of water. He healed the lame and opened blinded eyes. He shifted faith from objects to the place to where God is, to shift it all of that to God. And then Jesus helped the man by the pool of Bethesda to shift his faith from the pool to God. Jesus shifted the understanding of the woman at the well. Jesus was always pointing people in the direction of truth. But see, Jesus was more than a miracle worker. He was the greatest teacher that ever was. He was so committed to teaching that He taught all the way to the last hours of His life. Jesus did so many wonderful things that we simply cannot tell it all, as the song goes. In fact, John 21 and 25 tells us that Jesus had so many wonderful things that the world could not contain them if they were written down in books. All of the great deeds Jesus has done. You see, the thing is, we focus on this glorious Sunday morning. It's the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many times has Jesus pointed others in the right direction? How many times has he pointed them to the resurrection? You see, Matthew 12 and 40 said he gives the account where Jonah is the great in the great fish. He says, if you put Jonah just as Jonah was in the fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man must be in the earth, signifying of his resurrection. And then Mark 9:9, Jesus told him that not to share anything about what he had done on the Mount of Transfiguration until he had been raised from the dead. And then John 2:19-22, Jesus declares that if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up again, referring to his body. Jesus was always pointing people to truth, and he was always pointing people to his death and resurrection. But I'm here today to submit to us that the reason we point people to Jesus is because Jesus points people to the resurrection.
Amen.
The first thing that we see out of our text is this: we must point people to the person of Christ. The resurrection of Jesus points people to the person of Christ. When I look at this person of Christ, Jesus is the one that is designated to be the redeeming vessel for all of humanity. And in case you didn't know it, God sent his Son into the world, not just that he might live, but he sent him into the world that he might die. He sent him into the world that he might die for all of the sins of humanity. See, that ought to be good news for somebody right now. But we sometimes fool ourselves and we think we all of that. We fool ourselves and we think we are good people. Amen. Well, the Bible says there's none good except God the Father. And Jesus himself said, why do you call me good? But there's none good except for God the Father. When we understand that we are not as good as we think we are, and when we understand the day that we came out of our mother's womb and we began to crawl around in this world and the first time that we sinned, we were deserving of what the scripture said, the wages of sin, and that is death. We have to understand that sin has come into the world through our forefathers, Adam and Eve, and as they have come into the world, sin came into the world through them, and as a result of that, God says, I've got to do something about the sin condition of humanity. So he sent his Son Jesus into the world to pay our sin debt. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. That good news that I don't have to stand before God and give an account for the things that I've done wrong in this life. Hallelujah. Because they've already been covered under the blood. See, that's where the good news comes in. That when Jesus Christ came and went to the cross at Calvary, all of the sins that I've committed are covered under the blood. Now, that doesn't mean I just go around sinning because they're already under the blood, but it means that the sins that I've committed, Jesus Christ has already paid the price for those sins. Jesus Christ has already paid the price to redeem me. Jesus Christ has already paid the price to buy me back from the hands of the enemy. And I'm so grateful that Jesus has already paid the price, because if he had not paid the price, we would have to stand before God and give an account for all of the wrong things that we've done in this world. But because Jesus Christ has already paid the price for us, we now stand in the presence of God, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I see we don't understand that. Yeah, that is good news. Just like I got this white robe on, it covers what I have on underneath. Hallelujah. We get that same thing when it comes to Jesus Christ. He covers us with his righteousness, but underneath is filth and dirt. Underneath is sin. Underneath is disobedience. Underneath is something that we don't want to present before God, but he paid the price already. But because we are covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when he looks at us, he doesn't see the sinful us. He doesn't see the dirty and disgusting us. He sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we ought to get shocked shouting about is because we've got the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Simply put, we have put on Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And because we put on Jesus Christ, the righteous one, we are now righteous before God the Father. But Jones, how do I put on Jesus Christ, the righteous one? By faith, you accept Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior. You admit that you are a sinner on your way to hell. And then you begin to ask God to come into your life and cleanse you up and to redeem you. And he'll do just that because he said, whosoever will call upon my name, I shall save.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
We are covered because he's pointing us, the resurrection points us to the person of Christ. You see, Jesus is the only one who is worthy of being the offering of our sins. Because if you go back into the Old Testament, you'll find that in order for your sins to be atoned for, you had to bring a sacrificial animal, a sacrificial lamb, sacrificial bull, sacrificial turtle dove, a cat, depending upon the situation. You had to bring that sacrificial animal. And then he says, when you bring the lamb or the animal before God, it had to be perfect without blemish.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we had one come into the world by the name of Jesus Christ, who was perfect and without blemish. That meant that he could be the sacrifice. That meant that he could pay the price. But if he had come into this world and messed up in any type of way, then we would not be able to be redeemed, because he would not have been the perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. See, we don't know what that one is either. Imagine for a moment if you had to die for all of humanity. But the standard would be that you had to have lived a perfect life. How many of us would have met the standard? Not one of us would have met the standard. Well, what about just one sin, Jones? If I just committed one sin, couldn't I die for all of humanity? You couldn't die for humanity. What if it was half a sin, Jones? Could I die for all of humanity? You couldn't die for half a sin. What if it was a quarter of a sin? Would I be able to, you know, die? According to Scripture, sin is sin. And once you commit one sin, you're not able to give your life as a sacrifice for humanity. So you can imagine the life that Jesus lived 33 and a half years here on the earth. He lived a perfect life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're missing it again. He lived a perfect life, a life that was without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, so that when he became the sacrificial lamb, so that when he was able to go to the cross at Calvary and stand before God the Father while he was on that cross at Calvary, he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He was the Lamb of God without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. There wasn't a sin found in his life. There wasn't sin in his DNA, because he was Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Well, some say, well, he had an unfair advantage because he was God in human flesh. Well, the scripture said he suffered everything that we have suffered in this world so that he would be in touch with our infirmities. He went through things just like we did down here on earth. The problem is we don't do what he would do in return.
Amen.
Amen. Because when they spit on Jesus, he didn't spit back. Hallelujah. When they slapped Jesus, he didn't slap back. Hallelujah. But most of us would have been, oh, it's not going down like that. You're not going to spit on me. You're not going to slap me and not get something in return. It wouldn't go down like that with most of us. That's why we can't be the Redeemer. That's why we couldn't pay the sin debt. Because we would have slipped up and messed up. We would have been cussing somebody out. You're disqualified. We would have slapped them back. You're disqualified. We would have spit back on. You're disqualified. All because Jesus Christ, the righteous one, came to be the sin debt for all of humanity. He came to be that perfect sacrifice. And Jesus is the expression of God's love. When we express love, love is an action word. It's a verb. We have to express love. We don't just talk about it, amen, but we have to express it. And what better way to express love than to give your best? Hallelujah. It has never left my understanding. The first time I've read that scripture text and got an understanding of what John 3:16 was all about. It said Jesus gave us his very best, his only begotten son. God gave us the best. He didn't give us leftovers. He didn't give us what he had on the side. He gave us his best. the love of the Father will cause you to give your best. And I pray that we come to that place where we were willing to give God our best because of the love that we have for him. But he gave us his best in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was an expression of the love of God. And so as we look to the resurrection, it points us to the person of Jesus Christ. And he's also the example for living. Amen. Living here on this earth in relationship to God. Don't you know that while Jesus was here living in this world, he related to God in a wonderful way. He always trusted in the Father. He was always believing the word of the Father. He never doubted the word of the Father. He said, if God said it, then that's how it's going to be. Yeah. If God gave me the assignment, then that's how it's going to go. I'm going to fulfill the assignment. I'm going to do what the Father has sent me to do. And in fact, he told the disciples, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. I've only come to do the will of the Father. And he said, I've come not to serve and be served, but I came that I might serve and give my life a ransom for many. Now, many of us was in Jesus' shoes and in his position, we'd have came down here and thought we were royalty for sure enough. He was royalty, but he put it aside so that he could walk humbly before us. He was royalty, but he set it aside so that he could get in touch with how we were living down here. He was royalty, but he showed us a different way. He showed us how to walk with God in relationship. He showed us how to trust the Father. He showed us how to believe in the word of God and not doubt the word of God. And Jesus is the great high priest who sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on our behalf. That's good news right there too. He's an intercessor. What do you mean in an intercessor, Jones? That means every time you do something wrong down here and the devil tries to step up and say, look, they messed up again. Jesus steps up and say, Father, that's under the blood.
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.
When you cuss them out. See, you got a cussing saint. Father, forgive them. It's under the blood. When you talked about them as bad as you could, and the devil said, see, they're always running their mouth and talking down on people. Father, forgive them. It's under the blood. Perhaps you got sticky fingers and you took something that didn't belong to you. Father, forgive them. It's under the blood. Perhaps you had your lips on somebody that wasn't your husband or your wife. Father, forgive them. It's under the blood. Now, it doesn't mean that you go around and keep on doing those things. Hallelujah. But it means that you are under the blood, because when you understand that you're covered by Jesus Christ, when you understand that you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ and he's your great high priest and he intercedes on your behalf, that means that every time you mess up, conviction comes in. The Holy Spirit begins to talk to you on the inside and tell you, don't do that again. The Holy Spirit begins to talk to you on the inside and say, you know what, that wasn't the right way to go. You slipped up this time, but be careful about going down that road again. And you tell the Holy Spirit, you're right, I'm going to get it straight. You're right, I messed up. You're right, just keep on working on me. Keep on working on the inside of me. Keep on making the way out of no way for me. Keep on letting your power come forth. Keep on convicting me, Holy Spirit, because I don't want to go that route again. Keep on talking to me, Holy Spirit. Some of us don't like when the Holy Spirit talk to us, because we know when the Holy Spirit starts talking to us, we in trouble. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, here you go again. I know. Yeah. No, you don't know, because if you knew, you wouldn't be going down this road again. We've got to learn to walk away from sin and not into sin.
Yes, God.
But we do so because the resurrection points us to the person of Christ. But not only does the resurrection point us to the person of Christ, the resurrection also points us to the promise of Christ. Yes, the resurrection points us to the promise of Christ. What do you mean the promise of Christ, Jones? Jesus was not just the promised one, but he was also the promise keeper. He was the promise of God. In Genesis 3:15, God puts a prophecy into the world, and he said that there would always be enmity between the woman and the serpent. And it says that Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. If you go back and you read Genesis 3:15, you'll find out that it says that his seed would crush your head. But your seed would bruise his heel. The word seed is singular in there when it's talking. There's one individual that would crush the head of Satan. There's one individual that would deal with the enemy. There's one individual, and his name is Jesus. And he is the promised one. But not only is the promised one, but he's also the promise keeper. There is a God, the promise, that had given us the promise to love us that leads to salvation. That is the love that leads to us being redeemed. The love that leads to us coming out of sin. That's why John 3:16 said that God so loved the world that whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. He made it a very distinct thing. He made it a very understandable thing. He said, he didn't say might, he didn't say could, perhaps. He said you shall be saved. That is a definite thing that's going to happen. That is a sure thing that's going to happen. But are you understanding, if you call upon the name of the Lord and you call upon him in sincerity, that you shall be saved? That's the promise of God, and Jesus Christ is the promise of Almighty God. Jesus promised to give us rest and renewal. He says, come unto me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and cast your yoke upon me, and I will give you rest. Many of us are running around with burdens that we can't seem to handle because we refuse to turn it over to the Lord. Many of us are going around doing things out of character because we refuse to turn some burdens over to the Lord. Yeah. If we would just stop for a moment and realize how heavy things are on us, turn it over to the Lord and allow him to have his way. He is the promise keeper. Let the promise keeper do exactly what he said he would do. He said he would comfort us in our midnight hour. He said he would be there and stick closer than a brother. He said that he would be right there even until the end. Well, what's the even until the end? It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter when you come to the conclusion of it. Jesus said, I'll be there even until the end. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What does that mean, John? That I'll never walk away from you. Hallelujah. That's sure enough good news right there. That he said, I'll never walk away from you. That means that he'll be right there. No matter what you're going through, he'll be right there. No matter what troubles you may be facing, he'll be right there. It doesn't matter if you're going into that club in the midnight hour, he's going to be there too. Because he said, I'll stick closer to you than a brother. Your brother might be at home, your sister might be at home, but Jesus is right there with you. Yeah, yeah. In the midnight hour when you out creeping around, don't forget that Jesus is with you. But we don't have no creeping saints. Hallelujah. We don't have no tiptoeing saints. Hallelujah. We got Holy Ghost filled saints. We got saints that's filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the foul power and the fire of Jesus Christ. We don't have Holy Ghost Spirit filled Christians that are doing things out of character and nature. But all of us are striving to do what is right. All of us are striving to do what is holy and pleasing unto the Lord.
Yes.
One of the greatest promises that we have received from God the Father is that he would give us an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And as he's given us that righteous one, Jesus Christ, as he's given us that righteous one, the one that will stick closer than a brother, he's given us the one that is the promise and the promise keeper. Hallelujah. When Jesus told his disciples, I must go away. But if I don't go away, then the Comforter won't come. The Comforter came into the world that he might be able to minister to all of us at the same time. There's a thing about God, because he operates outside of time and not in time. He's able to be in all places at all times. Hallelujah. I know it will blow your mind. You think about it too hard. Because we don't have that ability. We don't have the ability to be in all places at all times. Now, I know some of us are waiting on AI to give us that ability. We see in all the movies and stuff. We see in all of the stuff that's happening in these virtual worlds. And amen. And we're waiting on that to become a reality. Amen. But there's nobody like God.
Nobody.
God has the ability to be in all places at all time because he doesn't operate in time. That means that in any moment, he's here, he's there, he's here, he's there, and he's there all moments of the time. And the thing about it was when Jesus Christ was on earth, he was limited to a degree. He could not be in all places at all times. And in fact, Jesus in his earthly ministry only traveled in a 40-mile radius. Hallelujah. Now imagine what he did in a 40-mile radius, and we got access to an entire world. Hallelujah. How much are we doing with access to the entire world? And he had access to a 40-mile radius. He walked most of the places that he went. We got cars, trains, and planes. Amen. How well are we doing? He didn't have a cell phone. How well are we doing? He didn't have the internet or TV. How well are we doing? We've got access to people all over this world. We got access to people on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
And we can access them in this very moment. Now, if they're in California, they might not be too happy with you. Amen. Still early on that side. And that right, Sister Lori, it's still early on that side. You don't want them calling you 6 o'clock in the morning here. Oh, let me call Sister Lori and see. It's 3 a.m. there. You don't want that to happen. When we understand that God is able to do what he does because of who he is. And he's able to keep his promises because of who he is. He's the promise keeper. He's the promised one. But not only does the resurrection point me to the person of Christ, and it points me to the promise of Christ, the resurrection also points me to the power of Christ. It points me to the power of Christ. And this is showing up where you ought to get excited. Because this is the part of God that means the most to us as we live in this world. And that is his power. If you notice in the text, it said that Jesus would rise again on the third day. Well, how is that going to happen? It's going to take some power. The word power, dunamis, is used 117 times in the New Testament. There's one, I want to share three types of this power with you that Jesus had. He had the operating power. This is the same power that was working in Christ while he was working in us, or with us. While he was here on earth, the same power, the dunamis, that God has sent was working in him. He was operating in that same power while he was here. He was operating in that power so that he could do the work of God. He was operating in that power to be an example to us of what it means to operate in the power of God. When I said he was an example earlier, he is the example of how to let God empower you and then use you for his will and his glory. But the problem is sometimes we don't live the way that we ought to live, and we miss out on the power that we could have. We could have more power than we have right now if we change the way we live a little bit. We could have more power than we have right now if we just shift our thinking just a little bit. God wants to give us more. He wants to get the most out of us. He wants to bless us greatly and richly. He wants us to be a blessing greatly and richly. And I'm not talking about money, but he wants us to bless the world with a word from him. But if we're living like a test and our testimony doesn't match our living, then we got problems. We can't have a powerful testimony when we got unpowerful living. Hallelujah. We living like the devil, but then we trying to talk to folk like we're a saint. We got to make sure that our living and our talk match up so that we can have the type of power that will empower our testimony. Luke 11 and 15, they accused Jesus of getting his power from Satan. They said the only way that he can cast out these demons is that he has the power of Beelzebub working in him. And Jesus said, how can a kingdom be divided against itself? And in fact, if I'm casting out demons, it's got to be by the power of God. Jesus said, you're not going to deny where my power comes from. My power comes from God the Father. You're not going to deny me of giving glory to my Father in heaven. I only operate by one power, and that is the power of the Lord. That is the power of God. There is no other power operating in me. And we got to live that same way where there's no other power operating in us. We can't have the power of God operating in us and the power of Satan at the same time. Amen. Jesus goes on to say that how can a strong man take the, can someone take the house unless they first bind the strong man? In other words, you ought to take care of who's already in control of the house before you take over the house. Amen. And if you got the Spirit of God in you, there is no power that can overtake you. Amen. If you got the Spirit of God in you, there's no power that can come in and overtake the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. That's why we have to be careful about telling people as Christians, you can be demon possessed. Hallelujah. Let me share with you, you can't be demon possessed. You can be influenced, but not demon possessed. Because the power that's on the inside of you is greater than any power that there is. There is no power greater than God. And don't let anybody deceive you too and say, well, God and Satan are equals. No, they're not. There is no equal to God. The devil can't do what God does. He doesn't have the abilities that God has. There is no equal to God. God is in a realm all by himself. And he has the power to operate like that. He has the power to control any and everything. But he allows us to do something because of free will.
Amen.
So don't take advantage of the free will that you have. But live a life so that you can live under the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask the woman with the issue of blood when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And he said, I felt virtue come out of me. In other words, I felt power leave me. And all she did was touch the hem of his robe. She didn't touch his hand. She didn't touch his head. She didn't touch his feet. That just showed you how much power Jesus had flowing in him. She touched the hem of his robe and power came into her and cleared up her situation. She had been bleeding for 12 long years. And because she had been bleeding for 12 long years, she was excluded from worship. Hallelujah. She was excluded from operating and being in society. She couldn't go around in crowds and touch people. But that day she said, I'm going to take a chance. I see that there's power available and I'm going to take a chance. And if I could just touch the hem of his garment, she pleaded out in her head what she needed. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. And as she got close enough, pressing through the crowd, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and the power came into her body and dried up her bleeding situation. Hallelujah. She got her healing on that day. But Jesus said, who touched me? I felt power come from me. The disciples said, everybody's pushing in on you. How can you tell somebody touch me? He said, because I felt the power leave me. I felt the power go out and heal somebody. I felt the power go out and dried up somebody's issue of blood. I felt the power go out. So I need to know who it is that touched me. Who received this power? She couldn't hide any longer. She said, it was I. I touched you. He blessed her and she went on about her life. Because she touched Jesus, she got the power that healed her, the power that cleaned up her life. Then there's the transferring power of Jesus. Jesus would impart his power to other people. If you look at Luke 9 and 1 through 2, he called the 12 disciples and he gave them power and authority to go out and cast out demons and to heal all diseases. He sent them out two by two, go out into the world and began to do the work of the ministry. He transferred power to them and they went out into the world and began to operate in the power of Jesus Christ. And all because he transferred his power. We need a transferring of power today. We need to have a transferring of Jesus' power in our life today. Because we live in a world that's wicked. We live in a world that is messed up and jacked up. We need to have Holy Ghost filled Christians who have a transferring of power in their life. And they're operating in that transferring of power. It does you no good to get power transferred to you if you're not going to use it. Why would I get power transferred to me and I'm only going to sit on it? Why would I get power transferred to me and I'm only going to sit there and do nothing? Amen. Could you imagine having Duke power hooked up to your house and you still using candles? Amen. Could you imagine having Duke power hooked up to your house and you still raising up the windows? Amen. Trying to let a breeze blow through. All you got to do is tap into the power that you got access to. It's available to you, but we're not tapping into it. All because we refuse to allow the transferring power of Jesus to operate in our life. If we just let Jesus have his way, if we just let the Holy Spirit work on us and in us, we can experience that transferring power. But then there's this other form of power that Jesus had. Power experienced. He experienced the same power that he says is available to us. Yes, that same power that God is using in our lives today, Jesus Christ experienced that power. He shows us that same power he experienced because the Father blessed him with the same way he wants to bless us. In Ephesians 1, 19 through 20 says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realm.
Amen. Thank you.
Simply put, what he's saying there, the same power that raised him will be the same power that raises us.
Yes.
That same power that he was given while he was here on earth, God wants to give that same power to us.
Amen.
There's no different type of power that Jesus got that we ought to get. It's the same power, the power that's given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowers the Holy Spirit to operate in us. He empowers the Holy Spirit to use us as he wills and sees fit to get glory out of our life. That's why he's gifted us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's empowered us with gifts, and he's empowered us with those gifts to be used. And because we got this experienced power that Jesus Christ wants us to see and operate in, we'll begin to operate in this experienced power when we understand that God wants to do some great things through us. God wants to use us in some mighty ways. But how can we do it if we don't experience his power? I want that experienced power, but I'm so glad that he told us that that same experienced power will be available to us on that great getting up day, on that great getting up morning when we all shall rise. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then all of those who are still alive will be caught up to meet him. If we just keep on living, I may check out of here before I get to see Jesus rise up in that great cloud, but I know that when I do die, that all I got to know is that I've lived for him and I've given my life for him, and because of that, I'll be a part of that great getting up day. I already know that I've already made my reservations for heaven. I've already know that the vehicle that's going to take me there is the power of God. I already know that the Holy Spirit has already sealed me to the day of redemption, and because Jesus Christ died on the cross at Calvary and I put my life in his hands, I gave my life to him. I asked him to come in and fill me with his presence. I asked him to come in and save me. I asked him to come in and fill me with the power of his Holy Spirit. And he did just that. He came in and he saved me and redeemed me. He came in and filled me with his presence. He came in and filled me with the power of his Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad that even if I die before he returns, he's going to bring me out of that grave because the power is available. He's going to bring me out of that grave by the same power that raised him from the grave. That same power will raise all of us one day. That same power we've got access to. That same power is available to each and every one of us. Are you waiting on that power to be experienced in your life so that we too can have that glorious getting up day? The reason that we're celebrating today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is because one day he went to a hill called Calvary. He died on that hill called Calvary. They beat him all night long. They whipped him all night long. And then they put an old rugged cross on his back and they walked him up Golgotha's hill and they walked him up to Calvary and then they hung him up on the cross. They said they hung him high and they hung him wide, and as they placed him on the cross there at Calvary, he hung between two thieves. That thief could have been me. That thief could have been you, but he was hanging there between two thieves, and he gave one of them a promise too. He said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. He said, thank you, because remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I got you. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And when he hung his head and he gave up the ghost, it wasn't over yet. They thought they had defeated him. The Roman army said, we got him now. The Sanhedrin said, we got him now. The Pharisees said, we got him now. Everybody thought that they had him. Everybody thought that it was over. But it said in that song that they sang a little earlier, one day Sunday came and there was a rocking and a reeling on the inside of that tomb. There was a rocking and a reeling that happened around the tomb. And it said the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. The earth began to shake and quake. Things began to happen, and the sun refused to shine, and it got dark at 3 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but something was going on. What was happening? It was already beginning to take place. But early Sunday morning, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, was out of the grave. Early Sunday morning, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, had already risen. Early Sunday morning, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, had already paid the debt. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, was now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, said the grave can't hold me. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, said I paid the sin debt of all of humanity. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, has been resurrected with all power in his hand. He had been resurrected with all power in his hand.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
The resurrection means a lot. So every time you talk to somebody, point them to the resurrection. Don't point them to you. And in fact, you can point them to come to church, but don't point them to the church. You point them to the church so we can point them to the resurrection. We serve a risen Lord. We serve a Savior that is alive and well. There are some who question our belief. They question why. But if you've ever tried him, you'll know why. If you've ever been in your midnight hour and you called upon the name of the Lord, he's shown up for you. If you ever been at the end of your rope and you were still slipping, but he came in the nick of time. If you ever had your life to be out of balance and you just couldn't get it right, and you called upon the name of the Lord, and all of a sudden everything seemed to balance out. It's because Jesus showed up. You called upon the one who could do something about anything that you're going through. He can do something about anything that you're going through. Emotional, physical, mental, whatever you're dealing with, Jesus can come in and do something about anything that you're going through. All because he is the resurrection.
Hallelujah.
So point me to the resurrection. Because when you point me to the resurrection, you're pointing me to the person of Christ. When you point me to the resurrection, you're pointing me to the promises of Christ. When you point me to the resurrection, you're pointing me to the power of Christ. So point me to the resurrection. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. We pray that this message was a blessing to you. If it was, drop us an email at wesleyonmain@yahoo.com. That's wesleyonmain@yahoo.com to let us know how this message has touched your life. Until next time, God bless.